You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
John Underhill from Burren Vets is with us. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Gavin.
And thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning. I've got questions. I'm just going to go straight into them. Mm-hmm. Tommy in Ina was in touch earlier on. He has wailings coughing in a slatted house. He's dosed them with clostamectin at housing. No temperatures or snotty noses. Snotty noses, they're feeding well. He's also asking, should they be dosed for stomach worms separately?
Okay, so they're coughing, and that's the first query.
Yes.
And they have been dosed. So I suppose, just to explain to people that cattle are prone to a condition called lungworm, and we've spoken about this ad nausea over the summer there, and it was very prevalent late into the winter, much longer. There was extension in the risk of lungworm this year, prevalence of lungworm this year, because of the extended grazing season. It was much milder, so the season was a little bit different from what we'd normally have, and he's right to have considered that at housing to rid them of any parasites going into the housing period. So that eliminates the possibility, or should eliminate the possibility, of lungworm infection in these as a cause of the coughing.
Okay.
So that would be a common cause of coughing. The most common cause of coughing at the moment are, and it is as it is in people, are respiratory viruses recirculating. So we are seeing countless cases now at the moment of, I suppose it's our number one call out at the moment, is to calves with pneumonia. So young cattle, typically under a year, with pneumonia, or several of them in a slatted unit with pneumonia, or the whole slatted unit coughing.
Of course, yeah.
Or some of them with pneumonia, some of them with coughs, all spiking temperatures. I think he said they didn't have temperatures, though.
No temperatures, so no snotty noses, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so he's wondering, could that be a possibility? I think it probably is a possibility, because there are different types of viruses that cause different scenarios. For instance, RSV virus, which is the real killer, causes severe pneumonias and really high temperatures, and the animals are really gravely ill. The other one that we see, PI3 virus, tends not to cause that much by way of illness. They're still eating, but they have a cough, and it's irritating. You go in, you're feeding your cattle, and they're all coughing. You're wondering why are they? But they're eating, so they're not sick per se with it.
Sure.
But they're carrying a virus, and it's a light, mild respiratory virus. And it can lead on to pneumonia in some cases if ventilation is poor, but it's common, and it's probably PI3 virus circulating in that.
Okay.
And I don't think you should treat them at all, really.
Really?
In this case,
just let it run its course?
It's probably going to run its course. Well, if it's a virus, antibiotics are going to be useless. They don't have a temperature, so why would you give them there and their dose? So he's probably well covered. But I think keep the ventilation a consideration, because at the moment, like mornings like this, very still mornings at the moment, there isn't much wind, and it's been very, very mild. So you've got cattle sweating in houses, and they're not getting ventilated properly. And the problem is, and I was saying this to someone this morning on a call a pneumonia case, that, you know, if you have a case of, and this is a common problem, where somebody gets a viral outbreak in their slatted house of weanlings with pneumonia, they have a few that are sick. You need to isolate those from the ones that are well, because if you put them back into the house, if you can put them into a separate building away from the main population of young stock,
that's your best bet.
You need to pull out the ones that are affected, treat them, and then vaccinate. Okay. is the advice on those ones.
Tommy was also asking, should they be dosed for stomach worms separately?
Okay, it's controversial. Stomach worms, he's done that already, because his clostamectin has done that.
Okay, so that's for his case,
from that point of view, no.
Can I ask a silly question in relation to dosing generally? And I'm not suggesting in any way that's the case here.
Yeah.
But can an animal be dosed but it not be done right? Or does it not cover properly?
Oh, absolutely. Wrong route, wrong dose, you know. What are you doing it for? When are you doing it for? You know, it's a bit like fishing. You need to put the bait in the right place, right time, for the right fish. You know, so it's you've got to, lots of considerations. But I think if he's used clostamectin at housing, then there shouldn't be anything.
Sure.
Parasitic-wise, he's covered.
Mm. No, I only asked that, and again, I haven't got a clue what's going on with Tommy.
Of doing it, mind you, but nonetheless, very effective.
Okay.
Like he or she, I should say, has covered all the parasite avenues stomach worms and lungworm across the board.
Well, hopefully that's of help to you, Tommy. Thanks for getting in touch. And a similar similar one, but it's related to a dog. Our dog, 18 years old, I don't know what type, has a hacking cough all week. Any idea what we can do? It's a good age for a dog.
18 certainly is. And if it's this is a sudden onset, it hasn't come out, I think it probably needs, first of all, first advice, get it checked, right? I think is it well or unwell? Well, we don't know. 18-year-old, it's a good dog, but it's developed a hacking cough. It usually sounds like a dry upper respiratory. That's what it kind of comes to mind.
Yeah.
For instance, kennel cough causes a dry hacking cough that goes on for quite a while. And again, it's viral. It is viral and can be bacterial, but mainly viral and very highly contagious. So it might be kennel cough. That's just a suggestion. But there are, at that age, you've got to consider other things that cause coughing. And it could be cardiac cough, for instance. So cough causes my heart enlargement. But I think in a dog this age, a sudden onset, it sounds like it's... it hasn't been there before, has come on in the last couple of weeks, and it's dry and hacking. You'd be inclined to think it's an infection, a respiratory infection, like kennel cough, rather than a cardiac thing. Cardiac coughs tend to come on earlier on in life. We'll say they come on in their elderly for sure, but heart enlargement, and you get a sort of a pushing effect on the, pinching effect on the airways.
Yes.
And that triggers a cough. I wouldn't be inclined to think that that is probably an infection, respiratory infection.
But get it looked at.
And I think they'd get it checked out, though.
Okay.
I mean, maybe, you know, couple of things. Has the dog had a kennel cough vaccine? That would rule that out if it has. And so it's but I would certainly get it checked out. And again, worming, important, as we mentioned this before, very important in dogs from the lungworm point of view, which is worth considering as well.
One more. A listener has a cat that will not eat meat and is eating very little food. It's only licking the jelly off of wet food, and our listener is wondering, is there any food they can get as a supplement and why this could be happening? They've tried cooked chicken, fish, etc., but to no avail.
Okay, so it's picking out the sort of tasty bits from the food, the jelly bits that are probably easy. Now, I suppose what we don't know here is the cat unwell? And if it's unwell, like its appetite is suppressed, is not interested in eating, that needs to be checked out, because it could be any number of things. But it might just be that it's got a problem in its mouth, and these will then favour the softer. They will lick the jelly because it doesn't hurt, because it's almost like drinking. And it's so it might be that its mouth is sore, or there's some pathology going on in its mouth that makes it sore for it to chew or to take food into its mouth. And we've mentioned in the past that gingivitis, stomatitis complex, quite common in cats, and it hurts them to chew and feed and take. They tend to avoid dry food. End of story. They will sometimes take wet food, and sometimes they just go licking the jelly from the pouches or whatever.
Which is
what's happening there. Here, and sometimes they'll dribble with it. And if you look in their mouth, it's worth looking, and be careful, because cats don't like their mouths being examined. You'll see that if it is that all along the upper and lower, the teeth, the molars and premolars around the teeth look very, very, will look very, very red. And at the back of the mouth, it will look very, very raw as well, like they have a sore throat. And that's why they tend not to eat. They'd usually have an appetite, but they'll, when you go to feed them, in other words, they're anxious to be fed. You get once you get the food out, the cat's running to get to the bowl to get fed.
But
nothing happens after that, or they just lick the bits that where it doesn't hurt. So that would be kind of what I would be thinking. But if it doesn't have an appetite, you're down a different road altogether. You need to get it checked out, because it could be anything.
Okay, John O'Dell from Burn Vets, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Clare FM's Morning Focus, the voice of the Banner County.